Dan O'Neill is one of those go-to guys in the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. Pick up the sports section, you turn to page two. There's Dan's column, a must-read every day. And now he's got a go-to book on Sportsman's Park, which has just come out. It's a terrific-looking coffee table book, and he's joined us here in the studio a little bit to talk about it. But first, you want to get in on the topic?
Well, first of all, I am a go-to guy with my editors because their first reaction usually is, go back to work and fix that, and then we'll... But, yeah, I did have a thought. I have a remedy for that whole situation.
The 13-year-old girl with the picture.
Yeah, in which everybody, everyone comes out mentally healthy and there's no ramifications whatsoever.
And what's that?
That would be to take a nude photograph of every kid in the school and recite.
Oh, yeah, that would work out.
I mean, you may have trouble getting permission for that. But it would certainly eliminate the, uniqueness of this girl.
True. She would not be the only one stigmatized.
Right.
Yeah.
That's right.
No, that's a good call, Dan. Way to go. Yeah. Anyway, let's talk about Sportsman's Park. You are a St. Louisan. You've been here your whole life. You grew up in U City. Your family was from here. So I'm guessing that your generational history with baseball started at Sportsman's Park.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, for one thing, my mom grew up probably just a couple blocks away from Sportsman's Park, and that's where she met my dad. But my dad was the biggest baseball fan I've ever known, and I've known some real rabid baseball fans. But he was a big Browns fan, and he used to take me down. Of course, I was a little kid then, but you know, we used to grab the Redbird Express on Del Mar and ride it down the Grand and go over to the ballpark. And really back then, even little kids, I used to do it by myself or with a couple of buddies, and we were maybe 11 years old or something, but it was no big deal.
Go sit in the bleachers?
And they played most of their games then during the day.
Right.
I mean, even I researched it in the book. I don't have the number right in front of me, but the Cardinals still played something in the neighborhood of like 75 day games as late as 1965. So it was just a different era, and it was also it's really the foundation of baseball here. I mean, they played baseball at that site for 100 years, and you'll recall, Paul and Kevin, that there was all this nostalgia and everything with Busch Stadium being torn down and the new stadium. Well, Busch Stadium lasted 40 years.
Right.
Sportsman's Park, the field was there for 100 years. They played baseball there that long. And for, roughly 45 years, they had two teams playing there. There were more Major League Baseball games played at Sportsman's Park than any other baseball stadium.
Well, one of the things I love in looking at the book has your prose as well as some terrific pictures from decades of baseball being played there is the look of the ballpark. Because when you hear about, oh, we're going to build this new ballpark in the 21st century, and it's going to have a retro look to it. No, it won't.
Yeah.
No ballpark today has pillars giving you an obstructed view,
right?
Which you did have in Sportsman's Park.
It'd be interesting if they made them that way, though.
And I believe that the players and the fans were much closer in those days, weren't they?
Yeah, they were. Now, I played devil's advocate a little bit. I actually, as we researched this and found these pictures, I actually saw more of Sportsman's Park, which later became known as Busch Stadium, but same stadium. I saw a little bit more of it in the present stadium than I had before. It was interesting looking at these older pictures and saying, you know what? It does kind of look a little bit like the old park. But, yeah, it was much different. I mean, by the time they changed stadiums, I mean, it was pretty worn down, and it looked different, it smelled different, everything about it was different, and as you see, and there's a couple pictures in here that really show you how beat up the grass would get. There's one great picture where you can tell they've already started playing football. It must have been late in the season, and man, it's like they're playing on dirt.
Yeah,
it's just remarkable. But I mean, I grew up seeing games there, and when you do that, nothing replaces that.
You talked about the smell. I think it's comedian Robert Klein who talks about going to a ballpark, Major League ballpark, for the first time, and he said you walk up that ramp, and that smell hits you, and you know there's going to be a baseball game or a rodeo. One of the other.
Now, rodeo's got one smell that baseball doesn't have.
Yeah, that's absolutely true.
That's true.
Talk about the guys who played there, because Garagiola wrote a piece for the book, and
right,
you talk to a bunch of these guys. What are their memories of playing in what then was considered a baseball palace?
Well, the thing about it is the greatest players in the history of the game played there. I mean, Babe Ruth hit more home runs there than any visiting ball player. He had 58 home runs there, including two of the longest home runs ever hit. He hit three home runs in a World Series game twice, and he did it both times at Sportsman's Park. Mm-hmm. Can you imagine if he played his whole career there?
Wow.
But he had one home run that cleared the pavilion roof, went across the street and smashed the plate glass window in the car dealership.
Wow.
Yeah, it was an interesting story behind that. But, you know, you had Willie Mays and Joe DiMaggio and Mickey Mantle and Yogi Berra. You had the best players in the American League and the best players in the National League all playing at that one
because ballpark. You had both the Browns and the Cardinals playing there.
Right.
Are there other major league parks that were home to two major league teams for that
only,
long?
Only, no, not for that long. Only for interim or short periods of time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's still the only ballpark where an entire World Series was played at that one location.
The Streetcar Series of 44.
Right, 44, right.
Yeah.
When people think, of course, if you're in New York or on the Eastern Seaboard, they want to talk about Fenway Park, and they want to talk about Yankee Stadium as being, you know, the greatest stadiums in the history of the game. But really, there's no stadium in the history of the game that has more history or rich tradition than that ballpark had.
10 World Series, including the Streetcar Series in 1944. Right. When did Anheuser-Busch buy the team and the ballpark, and it became Busch Stadium?
That was 53.
Mm-hmm.
An interesting story behind that is they actually Gussie Busch wanted to name the ballpark Budweiser Stadium. And the commissioner of baseball stepped in, so and we don't think we're going to go along with that.
Why is that?
Well, you know, there's something about beer and baseball. And I mean, it's interesting the ambiguity because they said, no, you can't name the stadium like that. But if you ever walked in the stadium, and when you page through the book,
yeah,
the one thing you notice is a huge scoreboard in left field and all the beer advertisements.
And it wasn't always Budweiser.
No.
I saw there was one for Stag.
Hyde Park.
Yeah. And a bunch of others that were
right
in there.
Yeah.
So there was somebody who was in charge of baseball at the time who said, nah, we don't like baseball being associated with beer.
Yeah, but go ahead and sell the heck out of it.
Yeah. Just and by the way, sell it through the whole game. Don't stop in the seventh inning like we do now.
And you know, it in Bush's case, it didn't prevent him from doing it anyway because he had Busch beer, which, you know, happened to be his last name, so he just named the park Busch Stadium.
The book is called Sportsman's Park, The Players, The Fans, and The Game. Dan will be doing a book signing tonight at the Barnes & Noble in Fenton Commons, and he has a website set up called sportsmansparkbook.com. Dan O'Neill, sports writer from the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, is here. He's got a terrific coffee table book that's literally just been published. I don't mean while we were in the commercials. I mean like in the last week, right?
I think it just got to Barnes & Noble today and Schnucks stores as well.
It's called Sportsman's Park, The Players, The Fans, The Game. It's got the reminiscences from Joe Garagiola and others and fantastic photos. And Dan writes about the history of Sportsman's Park, which is where most St. Louis baseball fans learned about baseball. Whether you were white or you were black, no matter what age you were, your dad may have taken you to the first game, your grandfather may have gone there for the first, your great-grandfather, because as Dan points out, they played in Sportsman's Park for 100 years. And what's on the site today?
The Boys Club
is
there today. But the field, the actual field, is still there in the same configuration.
Now, you mentioned before some of the players who came here to play for other teams, but of course, this was also the place where Stan Musial became the legend.
His whole career.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
there's a bunch of pictures of Stan in the book, including there's a picture of him getting his last hit, and there's a picture of him talking to the crowd on his farewell day.
Have you had a chance to talk to him about what Sportsman's Park was like as a home for him?
I've talked to him. Yeah, we talked to him for the book, and I've talked to him. I've done stories in the past about Sportsman's Park, and you know, Stan's always funny when he talks about it because he always talks about that short right field porch. That was kind of a good news, bad news thing for him, the right field porch, because when he played, they had the screen up in right field, you know, you had to get it up in the air. Well, Stan was mostly a line drive hitter, gap hitter.
Yeah.
And, you know, the screen probably robbed him of many home runs. But on the other hand, you know, when he pulled the ball and got it up in the air, he hit more home runs there than anybody. You know?
Well, I also can't let this go by without asking you about Eddie Goodell. And the Billy Veeck years.
Yeah.
He just bears a resemblance to me. I'm not really that short.
When I
put on the Browns uniform in our little thing, I swear to God, I looked like him.
As long as you don't hit like
him. I'm heavier than him. But
Eddie Goodell, for people who are not familiar with the story, was a midget.
Right. Well, that was one of Bill Veeck's promotional things. And he had it arranged ahead of time. He got permission to do it, and he sent up Eddie Goodell, who was a midget, to pinch hit in a game.
Uniform number 1/8.
Which happened to be Bill DeWitt Jr.'s uniform. He was a bat boy at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And so Eddie Goodell walked on 4 pitches, shockingly. And then he was actually replaced by a St. Louisan, Jim Delsing, who had a great career and unfortunately, you know, probably had to answer questions about Eddie Goodell many more times than he
It was only to. One at bat, right?
Yeah.
That was it.
Yeah. One of my favorite things in the book is there's a series of pictures of Pete Gray fielding a ball off the ground. Pete Gray was a one-armed outfielder who played for the Browns in 45. And there's a 6-picture sequence of showing how he fielded a ball. He'd field the ball, toss it up in the air, flip his glove off, catch it with the same hand, and then throw all in one motion. It's kind of interesting.
Stunning. And it made me think of Jim Abbott. Was that the one-handed pitcher
who
was
Jim
in the
Abbott.
Majors?
Yeah.
There's terrific stuff in there. And you mentioned Bill DeWitt. You also have the story in here of the day Bill DeWitt Jr. met Babe Ruth.
Right.
And that famous picture was
taken. It's an interesting story. And I should mention, you know, we're talking about my role in this book. Bill Mathis and Ellie Jones did the design. Mathis Jones did the work on the photos, and they really put out a great product.
Yeah.
But they came to me one day, and they showed me this picture of Babe Ruth. Babe Ruth was here in June 1948. He was making a tour at that time of big league ballparks representing the American Legion.
And by then, he'd been out of majors about 16 years.
Yeah, yeah. And actually, he died 2 months later. This was 2 months before he died.
Mm-hmm.
So he was in St. Louis, and Bill and Ellie found this picture of him with this little boy at Sportsman's Park. Well, it turns out the little boy is Bill DeWitt Jr.
Mm-hmm.
So I got a hold of Bill, and he also had a couple of pictures from that day. And he just sort of told me the story behind the picture about being a 6-year-old kid and being out in the middle of this ballpark meeting Babe Ruth and how, you know, fans were asking him for his autograph.
Of course, it helped that his dad was an executive with the Browns at the time and later went on to be the majority owner.
He was the equivalent of a ballpark gym rat, basically.
Yeah.
I mean, he's just hanging around. That's how he spent his summer, hanging around the ballpark in a uniform. So, anyway, it was interesting little story behind the picture.
It's a good story and one of many that Dan tells in this book. It's called Sportsman's Park, The Players, the Fans, and the Game. For people who have been part of St. Louis baseball history and their families have been going to these games for generations, you're going to want to get this as a gift for the holidays for someone in your family who remembers being there or wants to know the stories of what it was like when your dad or your grandfather or your great-grandfather went there. And tonight, Dan's going to be doing a book signing at the Barnes & Noble in Fenton Commons around 7 o'clock. And who's going to be there with you?
Roy Sievers, the 1949 Rookie of the Year for the Browns. And Ed Mickelson, who was the man who had the last run batted in for the Browns in their last game at the ballpark. And Paul, if I can, just because I've had people ask me and maybe they can't get there tonight, I'm also doing a signing at Barnes & Noble at 2 p.m. Saturday at the DePere location.
Okay.
And I'm doing one at 1 p.m. Sunday at the Mid Rivers Mall. And as you mentioned, if people want to order the book, they can go to sportsmansparkbook.com.
There you go. Dan O'Neill from the Post-Dispatch. Thanks for coming in today.
Thank you, Paul. Really appreciate it.
It's News Talk 1120 KMOX.